On the show today, we have Ondot's Rachna Alawat talking about their new card app and where these new card control technologies are going to take us. So check it out. Hey, everybody. Mike Lawson here with CU Broadcast. Welcome to our show. And on today's program, we have Ondot's very own Rachna Alawat. Rachna, how are you?
Very good, Mike. It's been years.
I know.
I'm looking forward to doing this together with you after 4+ years now.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah. But we did a great interview back then as well, and we're going to back it up with this one too. So how are things at Ondot these days? Let's get a quick review here.
And the timing is just perfect. When you covered us in 2014, we were just coming out of stealth mode, just getting started with our products launched. 2014, if you recall, we were all about controls and alerts.
I remember.
And our app was launched along with some of the processor partners. And now, 4 years later, 5 years later, we have actually launched a full-fledged card app. 9 of the top 10 processors in the US are live. Many of those that you cover, Co-op went live in 2015, they're with their card nav product. Many of the other processors, FIS, Stata, they cover a lot of different credit unions, so they're live with their different products that are essentially Ondot's white label solutions. We are serving about 4,300 banks, credit unions in the US.
Good
credit
for you.
Unions is one of the biggest segments. And then we expanded internationally with some of the large banks with, you know, footprint in multiple countries. So companies definitely grown. It's in the hands of millions of users. It's a white label solution, so you don't see Ondot. But our controls and alerts, merchant data enrichment solution, the self-service that's accompanying the end-to-end card life management, digital issuance, card app, all of this is live now.
That's amazing. Congratulations. A lot has happened in the last few years for you guys. And I remember when we talked in that interview, I just remember how cool having these controls was. I think it's enhanced its relevancy today because more and more consumers are gaining more and more control over their finances through great technology like what you guys are providing, you know, banks and credit unions out there. So where is it going next? Where is this? I mean, because we're all in this fintech, you know, blossom, blow up, whatever you want to call it. I mean, it's going crazy out there as far as fintech and business is moving faster and faster. So where is all this going?
Okay, so I did a quick recap of what the company has been doing, let me also bring in an angle which might be interesting to your viewers, both for the US as well as international market. So as we started expanding internationally a couple of years ago, we also realized that a lot that was happening in the international market will also be brought in the US. Now, when you cover banking and cards, I wouldn't say that US is the most advanced, and you know it's been proven again and again with our adoption of EMV and others.
Yes, yeah.
Banks, credit unions, other, you know, similar kind of card issuers outside of the US were further along. Also because they live in a very, very competitive space. So one of the things in the US, especially with credit unions, is the relationships they hold. One of the best things that was happening outside of the US was the use of technology by card issuers in really engaging the customers. So here the model, and in fact to some extent everywhere in the world, was, you know, there were branches, then call centers were set up, then online banking, then all your text messaging, and then mobile. And everything the card issuers or credit unions were doing was sort of following this footprint.
Yeah.
But if you see the mobile applications today, they have 50 plus must-have features. But these are consumer apps. If you look at the real technology, and now I'm going to compare banking with the other consumer technologies, let's look at Spotify, let's look at Uber, let's look at other applications that we use. They're one core feature functionality and everything else surrounds that. So we know exactly how to open up Spotify, click on our list or choose a song, and there we go. If you look at mobile banking application, you might be opening up your mobile banking application to check a balance. Somebody else might be opening it up to transfer money. There are so many features and they are designed with this path of features that were products that were available in branch to call center to online banking and mobile, and it's become a kitchen sink. So when we looked at the applications, true mobile sort of card related applications, by some of the challenger banks outside of the US, and even some of the Best Street solution, it was becoming pretty clear to us that by following this approach of having sort of one container mobile banking application, where everything from loans to debit cards to credit cards to peer-to-peer transactions, all of the back-end functionality, it needs a better design. And while I have a lot of respect for people who build a mobile banking application, this emergence of card-based application is really something that was happening outside of the US, and now it's pretty evident in the US too.
Yeah.
So look at tech companies. What's so unique about Apple that they introduced the card? One of the things to really that stands out, at least in our mind, this is the first time an app was before the card.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
You look at it outside of the US, people have been doing digital issuance, pushing it into the wallet for many years. And we were talking to our customers here, credit unions, mid-tier banks, about this similar kind of adoption. But just getting that message across was very difficult.
Yeah, I can imagine.
What Apple did, most of the features that are offered in the app are not unique. I mean, many credit unions have been offered, but they have all been buried. They have been in some form in mobile, online banking. Mm-hmm. It doesn't give that user the seamless experience, which is centered around card.
Mm-hmm.
So what we ended up doing finally was looking at our app, creating an app from scratch, which is a card app.
Mm-hmm.
Card front and center. All of the backend integrations that we've done with the processor, legacy banking system, your travel notification, dispute, you name it. All of those exist. But when a user comes into the app, they see the identity of their credit union, they're able to interact with their card, they're able to apply for a card, they're able to push that card into the wallet, they can have all of their self-service management features. So we are really excited that things that took us 4 or 5 years on the back to get existing integrations be exposed, we were able to package it all together and now have offered it as a white label application that any credit union served by our existing processor partner essentially can take advantage of.
Yeah, yeah.
And compete effectively, not in their peer segment, but with the tech companies.
Yeah, no doubt. And it's all right here, you know? So you're not only top of wall, you're top of phone now. that's the goal, right?
For all card, your phone is the card too.
Right, right. So I use mine every day. Every day I use it.
See, the way I look at it, Mike, technology is cheap. Technology is even free. Technology is not what matters. What matters is how we orchestrate and anticipate user journeys and create a solution so a user coming into a card app is actually able to take advantage of it without having to, try and figure out the navigation menu or whatever else. Mm-hmm. In fact, in many cases, don't even open an app. When I travel internationally and I'm using one of my customer products, I'm in Singapore, I get a prompt. Do you want to set Singapore as a region where your card is open for use?
Wow.
I'm using controls behind the scenes, but I've not called my credit union or my bank to enable that travel notification. All my transactions conducted for a week when I'm there are getting tagged as business. When I come back to San Francisco, with a click, I can submit it for reimbursement. But I did not initiate the conversation.
Okay, so how did your app know that you were traveling to Singapore?
So if you recall from 2014 when we talked about location, location of mobile and controls.
Yes, thank you.
So now mobile is, while you have to expose the products that are available in branch and OLB, online banking, mobile is a different form factor.
Right, right.
Mobile has two-way interactivity, mobile has location. The mistake most of the issuers end up making, in my opinion, is when they consider mobile as an extension of any of the other digital or physical, sort of a point of sale or store, so to say.
Mm-hmm.
They extend the capability and expose it on mobile. But mobile, just because of the other consumer application, has to draw you into the conversation.
Mm-hmm.
So what you do for a card-based application with user permission, user wants to keep the location on because it gives them some real value.
Right, right.
Why do we use Google Maps? And why do we say they're allowed to use our location? Because they're giving us step-by-step directions. So there's a value that a user perceives, a member perceives from an application that's using location. such as the example I shared with you, people turn on location.
Right.
So if I have location enabled, the instant my phone is on the back end, the using our location SDK, that information is available on the backend server.
Mm-hmm.
My phone was detected in a new country. It's used for fraud purposes, but it's also used for convenience. I get a notification that, oh, looks like you're in Singapore.
Would you like
to keep the card active around you?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, business or personal, if you say business. Now I'm making use of my card, whether I'm using my phone to make a purchase or a physical card,
mm-hmm.
all my transactions in that trip are getting tagged. I can even set a budget if I want for that trip.
Ooh.
But coming back here, back to the US,
right.
Now with WiseTech I've submitted, I may not even have opened the app. I may have just done a biometric authentication to mm-hmm. get that. The point I was trying to make was, this user journey has used several different components of technologies, you know, your location, your app, mm-hmm. the backend systems. But rather than talking about technology, we would rather talk about the user journey or how seamless it is for us to provide that in a CAN sort of an app.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you can take that. If they like features like that, they want to compete with the tech giants eating into their space, they have a ready-made solution rather than putting an army of people to design and develop that.
Mm-hmm. It's the customer or member journey or experience that we're all talking about today. I mean, you can't swing a cat these days without talking about member experience. And so this is all part of it, right? And so that kind of segues my next question is like, what does all this mean to a credit union that wants to stay relevant? I mean, I think the answer is obvious, but I want to hear your take on it. So, but the importance of it.
Yeah. And you know, it personally didn't occur to me till I realized that my 22-year-old doesn't have a relationship with the same financial institutions that I had. She may have chosen one of those to deposit her salary check,
mm-hmm.
but she's using cards from one of the card issuers that I have.
Right.
In fact, she's not even getting the cards from the retailers that were, you know, important to me. She's not going to go to Macy's or Nordstrom or whatever
mm-hmm.
to try and get a card because they're getting rewards. They're going after Apple, Uber, because these are the services they use.
Right.
They would rather accrue rewards or points and get some free services mm-hmm. from the tech companies where they have relationships.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And there are two reasons for that. One is because their relationship is not so much with the issuer, the relationship is developing with tech companies. And also, tech companies are able to create these delightful user experiences.
Oh, of course. Of course.
Right? The look and feel. But the advantage here for the tech companies is that's what they do for a living.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the product they sell. And they have extended that even into a mobile front when it came to the card.
That's
But if you look at banks, credit unions, they have been offering products which are also physical goods and customer experience based and all the other legacy systems they have to respect.
Mm-hmm.
So while average large bank may be putting in, this is a stats that you know one of our customer recently shared with us, the kind of investment that's going in IT by a large bank can come nowhere close for a credit union to put in the same, you know, whatever 0.4-0.6% of their total assets into IT.
Right.
And it's evolving. So what it means for credit unions, in our opinion, is that how traditionally they have focused on their member experience,
mm-hmm.
but have partnered with fintechs in bringing the best of breed solutions out there.
Mm-hmm.
We had to do a heavy lifting that all the backend integration is done, and now they have a front-facing product as well that could be rebranded and then offered.
Yep.
Because member knows your brand.
Mm-hmm.
Member come in to this and you go to App Store and search for XYZ credit union app, and that's when they get to see a card app to use it. So we don't want to bring in another application with another name that a credit union has.
It's just confusing. Yeah, exactly.
It's confusing too. But what it means for even the millennials is that if the place where they're depositing the salary checks is the place that's able to give them the kind of experience that they can get from a tech giant,
mm-hmm.
why they have multiple banking relations.
Exactly.
They also like to simplify their life.
Yeah. No doubt. And so isn't the card, though, kind of the hub of all of this activity, of the Uber, of, you know, of all the stuff that we're doing today, you know, all the payments type stuff. The card is kind of this hub, right? And that transfers to the credit or the bank that you have that relationship with, right? Is that kind of the process or the model right now?
You know, card is the hub because of the card number. But payments are becoming invisible. And this is being talked about world over, right?
Right.
Because with when you're putting more and more, when you're using more and more services where you're putting card on file,
mm-hmm,
and
mm-hmm.
with just one express checkout or you order and,
yep.
you know, behind the scenes, the payment is being settled between the merchant or the provider and the card issuer,
mm-hmm.
your association with that brand is actually going away. Right? And that's
right.
what's happening in the purchase world.
Right.
But coming to your point, is card the hub? Actually, card is the hub. Because the relationship starts from there.
Right.
How many times do we actually go and to our online banking site and try to move money? Maybe a couple of times a
sure.
month.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
How many times do we use cards? Every day.
Every day.
Mm-hmm. Right? Now, when the cards are being put on your mobile, so that, you know, you essentially get the same experience on card and file,
yep.
go press your, you know, phone right next to point of sales and make it, you know, with a touch. Let the payment be authorized.
Mm-hmm.
Now that brand association is going away
right,
between
right.
the issuer and the user. If you bring the card back into the app, put it front and center, have that brand association, send the notification real time, which includes your brand identity. You may have used, let's say, Apple Pay for making a transaction. Notification that you get will still be from your credit union.
Yep.
That's a way to reinforce that brand identity.
That's the way I use it. Yeah.
Yep, that's when you can engage a member into a new conversation.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
If the transaction got denied because you didn't have sufficient funds, but you were eligible for overdraft. Now, the one user journey ended because you presented your phone and you didn't have sufficient funds and the transaction was denied.
Mm-hmm.
But the other user journey started. That has to be stitched together,
yep.
which is, oh, Rachna, you're eligible for overdraft protection. Would you like to sign in? You drew the user into the app. Let me go through the, you know, verification process.
Mm-hmm.
Let me take the signature, whatever else is required. I accept the terms and conditions. Present the card again.
Indeed.
So card center. I think card is totally fundamental in establishing and maintaining that relationship.
I agree.
It's likely to have a relationship with somebody I got a car loan from, right? How many times am I going to do that? And my payment is happening. So that's why I think it's a sort of a wake-up call even for credit unions, that don't become a stored value card.
Yeah.
Don't, you know, go up in the card space
mm-hmm.
to your brand and relationship relevant.
Indeed. Okay, so where do we go from here, Rachna? What's next in the world of cards and locate this type of technology, the stuff that you're putting out there right now? So what's next? What do you guys have next on the agenda for 2020? Because 2020, I think, is going to be a big year. So
it is. And 2020 also equates with visibility.
Oh, so that's I like that.
Next. So I think this is just the start. So far, credit unions have resisted this notion of, oh, everything needs to be in my mobile banking application. But the reality is they always get, whether they're using an external mobile banking provider or they have their in-house development team. But they're always getting into this queue
mm-hmm.
and the features. Other banking features always get a higher priority than card-based features.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And that's why even for some of the credit unions to have on-off, card switch on and off that we launched in 2014, not many have gone live with it. I mean, they're still
yeah.
about 2,000. So, but there is a base of about 7,500 credit union in the US. Why remaining 4,000 or 5,000 haven't gone live with it? Because they were always getting in this line with either internal mobile team or with the mobile banking team to provide that functionality.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So done with this card app that can be launched by credit union under their name is just a start. Now they have a container
yes.
where a product manager of a debit or credit card actually decides what else they're going to focus because they have a home. They have mm-hmm. a container within which everything will reside. So now to answer your question, what's next for OnDot? Once this container card app has been launched by mm-hmm. credit unions and they're able to expose everything from selection of the card, take the user to their eKYC process, all the verification of the document,
right.
and whether it's instant right. issuance or issuance after 2 days, user gets a notification, you're now then you have a digital version of the card in the app directly,
mm-hmm.
push that push that card into the wallet with one click using the push positioning.
Right.
And also order a plastic if you want, then control the cards and set your location parameters as well as, you know, where you would like that card to be used, get alerted for every transaction, order any replacement, activation, see where you have spent your money, be able to see it on the map where you've spent the money, how your trends over the years or the months, you know, contribute to the kind of spending that you have, be able to control your dependence.
Right.
All of this is packaged and is available today. Now, and also some of the user journeys that I mentioned. What we see now happening after this first sort of a version of the card app out there, everything to do with what we like to call a delighted user segment features. Because once you give them a basic thing, now you have to continuously delight them with something new.
Yes.
So that you have, like, you know, the travel prompt feature. Travel notification have existed forever. There is nothing great about it. But if you're able to draw the user and make their life simple by automatically tagging their transaction in certain points, truly delighted the user.
Oh, of course.
So there are features like that we have built in and with a complete tech solution, tech stack already embedded into the mobile application that, you know, credit unions want to take advantage of it to compete more effectively in this space and compete effectively with tech giants so that they don't lose their, you know, preferred member to somebody who's not even from the banking space, I think.
It's a little scary. It is. But I mean, and being it from a consumer's perspective or a member perspective, when I see my credit union doing things like this, like you, what you were just talking about, it does delight me and it restores my faith in them that they get it. They know what's on the horizon and they're doing this stuff to stay relevant and provide, you know, their membership with the latest and greatest technology innovations out there. And so that way, that just enhances my trust and loyalty in them. So I'm going to continue to do business with them. So completely get it.
Let me use actually a proof point from elsewhere, because while we can talk in abstract on, you know, why it would be important for credit unions, about 2 years ago, I was visiting one of our customers in Southeast Asia. And I know while WeChat is not very popular here in the US, one of the things that stood out was how the relationship is actually moving from the current card issuers or banking systems to a tech giant. And this is 2 years ago.
Wow.
And this person showed me a statement from one of their customers from a year prior and then same. So a year before, they were like, you know, your normal 25 plus transactions conducted on a card. And then a year later, there were three lines. Not that the person had become inactive. That customer was still an active customer.
Right.
Rather than having your normal transactions of grocery, travel, department store, or whatever, this statement after a year included three lines. Two of those were actually transferring money to WeChat.
What?
And
really?
It's being used for making your payments.
Wow.
So they used WeChat, and now this bank was losing the interchange fee. They were losing all relationship. The customer didn't care. All they were doing was probably depositing some money because trust is still important. They may not trust the tech giant to store their entire salary check, but they trusted and were delighted by what the tech company was bringing in and were moving money in increments of 500 and 1,000 for their daily activity.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Wow. That's a little scary for financial institutions out there.
And we did not see that happening here now to some extent in the US.
I see the younger generations doing something like that for sure. Yeah, indeed. Well, Roshna, I could talk all day about this type of stuff, and I know you could too, but I know you have to get back to work. So I appreciate your time. Anything else, any final words of wisdom on this topic? Because this isn't going anywhere. This isn't going anywhere anytime soon. It's only going to get more important.
Yes, it was a pleasure. Always great to catch up.
Likewise.
To continuing our dialogue, as more of your listeners are interested in this topic, let's build more.
Indeed. Well, let's not wait 5 or 6 years to do this again, all right? let's do it on an annual basis. Good stuff. All right, Roshna, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Appreciate the time. Keep